Broadcasting live from the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in the ASTD International Convention and Expo.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, ASTD 2014 in beautiful Washington, D.C. The weather has been perfect, and so have the guests. I'm excited about this one, Stone.
So am I, but I got to ask real quickly. That's the first time I've paid attention to that intro. Is the very first of it like ripped off from Benny Hill? Just the very first few notes. Did you guys notice that?
No, I'm not that.
All right. I want you to listen next time.
You're the one who likes the British humor and British programming.
I do. I think we ripped off Benny Hill on that thing. So in this segment, we have with us the owner of Career Indulgence. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Miss Crystal Kadakia. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, yeah. We are delighted to have you. Career Indulgence, mission, purpose, what are you out there trying to do for folks?
Yeah, so Career Indulgence, it's a company that helps companies figure out how to work across generations. And we do that through offering consulting and training. So we're all about the millennials. That's really what we're about. How do you recruit them? How do you onboard them? How do you lead them? How do you train them to be leaders? We're all about millennials.
Now, when you say millennials, what is the age range of a millennial?
Generally, those are folks who are born between 1980 and 1995. So these are folks who are anywhere between 20 to 35 today. So today they represent about 40% of the workforce.
Now,
our producer a millennial? Is that, yeah?
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I'm a millennial.
All right, so what kind of problems can we anticipate as we continue to try to develop this guy into a productive part of the team?
Well, I mean, yeah, we're getting some free
consulting
here, Crystal.
Where am I going to get bitten on the backside with this guy?
Well, you know what? I think there's more positives than negatives. I have that
recorded. It's saved.
You should refer back to this. A true consultant told you that there are more positives. You know, I think some of the awesome things about millennials is that they really bring this perspective of wanting things to be done quickly. We're not about dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs?
Dare I say.
Dinosaurs. And why are you looking
Ouch.
At Stone
yeah,
and I
really.
When you say dinosaurs?
Well, in this you light, know. Sometimes my hair looks a little gray. It's this trade show light.
So it's definitely more about getting the experience as fast as we can and making an impact as fast as we can. And I think that's a very positive thing.
So you don't
thing.
Care about quality or anything, just speed?
No,
that's not fair. Don't let him beat you up like that.
I think there's definitely quality involved. But I would say on the downside, I think there is a lack of motivation or focus that also comes along with millennials and having that constant distraction as we're growing up.
Well, TV was never this good.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
right? You didn't have 200 channels to choose from.
There was a lot of entertainment choices that I can get on my phone now that I couldn't get before. So it's not your fault.
Absolutely.
So you have ideas and opinions about this and perhaps some research and knowledge base, and you are out there supporting other organizations and helping them prepare to get the very most out of this age group. Is that what you guys are doing day to day?
Absolutely. I would say my mission, let me tweak that a little bit. My mission is really around bringing the best of all generations to the table. So I think there are things that previous generations can definitely teach millennials. I think there are things that millennials are bringing to the table. And I think it's all about everyone being open to those things. So I see a lot of leadership asking for something, getting it from millennials, but thinking they're not getting it. And that's all a perception issue. So I'll give you a good example. I was talking to an exec last week, and she said the most important characteristic we want out of our leaders in the future is curiosity. So I asked her, why do you hate it then when millennials come up to you and ask you, why are we doing things this way? I mean, they're just being curious, right?
Right.
So it's a matter of approach and perception.
So now why do you think there is that disconnect then? Maybe older people aren't appreciating the talents or... Is that just a historic thing that happens that all older generations think less of the younger generation?
I think there is some of that. I think a lot of it is driven by technology. So I think the fact that we grew up with technology has really changed the way we communicate fundamentally. So there are things that, you know, folks would have said as a part of polite conversation, and they grew up with that, that now millennials don't really have as much of. So the 140 characters of tweeting doesn't allow you as much of the politeness or the, let's say, suave approach.
We like to say elegant.
Yeah, elegant. That's a great word. I think elegance is lacking a little bit in the approach.
All right, so let's walk it through for training pros or even like a business Radio X, right? So we've got some old folks, like over there, and we have some young folks. And we said, okay, we want to engage you guys. We want, because we know it's important. As we grow, we want to get the best out of everybody. What does that engagement cycle look like? Do you come and you sit down with us and you do some kind of assessment, or you talk us through some stuff, or what does that look like?
Well, one of the great things we offer is something called the Generation Collaboration Model Training. And that's all about this 7-step process to really start with respecting one another, to going through and seeing from each other's eyes. So a baby boomer seeing what it's like from the millennial perspective, a millennial seeing it from maybe a traditionalist perspective or a veteran's perspective. And really, by the end of the training, the goal is to have folks actually individualize their approach based on the generation they're talking to.
And we are broadcasting from hashtag ASTD2014. Just want to announce that for you, Crystal, because I know Twitter's an important thing for the millennials.
Yeah, actually,
right?
Nicely done. I'm impressed.
You know, I know my hands are on the table, but actually I'm tweeting right now.
In your mind.
It's already advanced, guys.
Okay, so some of this communication, what I think I hear you saying is it's idiosyncratic. I may have to communicate much of the same message in one way to Michael, our producer, and in a very different way to Lee, my partner, and still a different way to someone else in the organization. And beyond communication styles and gender or whatever, there is something to this generational thing.
Yeah. So I think there's actual trends there, and I do think it's very much centered around the fact that we grew up with technology that's driving the true trends with the generation. So things like lack of focus or inability to concentrate. I think an older person actually has a self-awareness to say, oh, I used to be able to read a book all the way through. Things are a little different now. Whereas someone who, you know, grew up distracted isn't going to have that awareness. So I think there is truth to it. And then I think there is exactly what you said, the idiosyncrasies of the communication piece.
Now, you say technology is kind of a component or an important driver for the millennials. But I know they like their phone, but they don't like their phone to make calls. They'll text on it and they'll tweet on it, but they won't pick up the phone and call people. How do we fix that?
It doesn't need to be fixed, Helen. He's asking the wrong question, right, Crystal?
I think the actual answer is that whenever anyone is presented with a larger number of choices, one of the choices is going to be used less. And whereas before, you know, we just maybe had phone and face-to-face, we now have phone, face-to-face, text messaging, email, Snapchatting, WhatsApping, you name it. And when you have all those choices, your percent of time on each of those choices is going to change.
But man, you are good. What she's telling you, Fred Flintstone, is, yeah, back in the day when all you had was either smoke signals or the phone on the cord on the kitchen wall, yes, you made phone calls.
That's right. Exactly. You know, and in fact, let me ask you, when the invention of the phone happened, how many people went over to go talk to their neighbor instead of just picking up the phone?
Man. So
the percentages changed.
So then the less personal we do things, the better for millennials.
I think you've got to shift the focus. So I think there's a time when face to face is appropriate, and there's a time when text messaging is appropriate. I think we're all very busy
today. I know, but okay, 140 characters seems to be a good number nowadays, but soon it's going to be 50 characters. Now a 6-second Vine is appropriate. You know, like it's getting less and less, so you're going to have to communicate more and more, and it's hard to do certain things like build relationships, sell people something. And, you know, with millennials, unless they learn these other kind of softer skills of interaction and,
you know,
and
so
rapport building and things like that.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring this up because a lot of my work actually takes me to talking to 9-year-olds and 12-year-olds.
Thanks. And you're looking at me again.
And, you know, when you talk to these 9-year-olds and 12-year-olds, they're already seeking some sort of balance between these communications. So I'm not necessarily sure it's going to get shorter and shorter. I think people are still looking for how to get meaningful interactions and build positive relationships.
And to be fair, Lee, you and I, who were working with someone from a generation older than us not too very long ago, went through what you and I observed as very old school behavior, and we didn't have a lot of tolerance for it either. So we were expecting that person, since we were the potential buyer, to communicate more in a vein that would be more meaningful to us. And the result, we didn't invest with that person. And all of this, also, it's the impact. It has a tremendous impact on the way that you develop people. All of this really does tie to instructional design and the way you roll out training, right, Crystal?
Absolutely. And in fact, communication is the heart of learning, right? You're trying to transfer knowledge from one person to another. And I would say the way that millennials learn isn't necessarily less deep, but it is different. So the way that someone learns something by watching a YouTube video today while having a, you know, I met someone who learned ukulele just by watching YouTube videos. That's not something we necessarily had the opportunity to do in the past, at least in the last 100 years, but it is more like an apprenticeship model, right? Except it's video. So in a way, we're kind of going back to some older methods that are more tactile, which I find very, very interesting. And that is a very in-depth way of learning. It uses different parts of your brain than before. So maybe the Twitter is a lead-in to a more in-depth way of learning. Maybe it's, you know, connecting you to that video or connecting you to that expert that that you want to talk to more than 140 characters with.
But I think, and also to expand upon your point, you might be introduced to them on 140 characters, but then you can read their whole Twitter feed and get thousands and thousands of characters and really learn what makes them tick so that you can develop a deeper relationship.
And then you can follow their hashtags and see what everyone else thought as well.
Right.
So it's a very collaborative learning experience.
Well, it's an interesting observation you made that in some ways we've come back full circle, at least opening the door for that almost apprenticeship-like model for developing people. So it's interesting how some things circle back again.
Yeah, I find that very interesting. And what's very cool is in the past we couldn't do it on a global scale, and today we can because of the internet. So you could be apprenticed, quote-unquote, to someone in New Zealand, you know,
a shepherd in New Zealand
on YouTube teaching you how to herd sheep,
for example. Right, you can get best in class anywhere on the world and pretty much for any budget.
Right.
All right, where can our listeners go to learn more about you and your work, maybe have a conversation with you about taking these important things to consider and integrating them into their training program and their communication programs?
Absolutely. So for more information about the training and consulting side, careerindulgence.com. If you're interested in speaking, I do have a separate speaker site at crystalkadakia.com. And then, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at careerindulgence. So, lots of ways to connect with me. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me here at the ICE today.
Are you speaking?
No, but I am at the award ceremony tonight, actually, receiving the One to Watch Award, which is really an honor, and I'm very excited to be a part of that. So that should be interesting.
Very cool. So she really is the one to watch, Crystal Kadakia with Career Indulgence, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the platform and maybe back in the studio sometime. Thanks so much for visiting with us.
All right, thank you.
All right, we will be back in a few from the show floor of ASTD ICE 2014.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.